Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
I was reading recently that almost 60% of Australians do not have a will. And the research also showed that 14% of Australians are dead set against ever having a will, which struck me as quite odd. It also struck me as a perfect issue to look into as part of your Law Talk today.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Welcome, Beck Dahl, partner at Nichols Family Lawyers.
Thank you, Warren.
And welcome also to our special guest who we all know here on Joy Drive, Malcolm Campbell.
Hello. Yes, my other job, apart from being a sports correspondent, is a lawyer, and I specialise in wills and estates.
Fantastic. Now, Malcolm, thank you for joining Beck and I today. As we know, you do the sports report here on a Monday, which we absolutely love.
Thank you.
And Chicks Talking Footy, how's that going?
It's going very well.
Actually, I just realised you both got that in common. Wow.
Yeah, but you know, when you leave the city to get here to be on air now, we'll both be working at home tonight.
That's right.
Okay, yes. Fair enough. Now, enough of the cross promotion. Let's get on to it. Malcolm, what is a will and what does it do?
Well, a will is a document that a person... an adult person over 18 can sign and have witnessed by two adult independent people to determine how they leave their assets on death. And in the will, you appoint someone to administer that, your assets on your death, and that person's called an executor.
Ah, so you're a wills and estates lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, and why is it wills and estates?
Well, wills are... drafting the wills, which I just explained what a will was briefly. Estates is when you die, and that's administering your assets. So, administering your estate, your assets. So, personal estate are your things like bank accounts and shares, and real estate, of course, is your real property, your house.
If you've got any questions about wills or estates, text them in 0427 569 949. Now, looking at this research, it seems that a surprisingly large number of people do not have a will. Why do people put off getting a will made?
Well, they can't be bothered, or they're scared of dying, especially in migrant communities, Greeks and Italians. They're scared of doing a will because they think they're going to die. That's what it is. But a lot of people can't be bothered, or they think, I'm too young. A lot of young people won't do it. It won't happen to me. A lot of people will do a will when something happens to someone close to them that dies, or I have clients who renew their wills as they're older, and they often are renewing or doing new wills all the time as they're old. I found in the pandemic, I thought, well, everyone's sitting at home, they've got plenty of times to consider about doing a will or doing a new will. Opposite.
Oh,
nobody
really
wanted to deal with doing a will at all. They were too scared. They were watching Netflix, drinking, you know, that sort of stuff.
Well, I was watching the whole of The West Wing, Malcolm. I didn't have time for a will.
I have not watched it yet.
Well, we'll do another show about that.
I've got it on DVD, but I don't have a DVD player. But we'll see.
Are there other reasons why people don't make a will?
Well, look, aside from The West Wing, obviously taking up a bit of time, I think, look, picking up on what Malcolm said, obviously what I do in family law is slightly different, but I think we sort of deal with the same issues of people feeling emotional about these legal processes they have to go through. And I think that, you know, as well as people have blended families, you know, new partners, different children, and I think sometimes the thought of making all that into a will is a bit too much for people.
Yeah, all too hard.
Mm.
And especially when you're in those circumstances where you say blended families, it's very important to have a will because you've got to consider your new wife and your stepchildren and your children from your first marriage and all those sort of
things. becomes even more important. I think the other thing is too, Warren, people often don't realise that there's consequences of not having a will. Because I think people think, oh, well, I won't be here. That's someone else's problem. But there are some serious consequences.
Oh, definitely. If you don't have a will, you die in a situation which is called intestate. So it's like...
Intestate?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it means you don't have an estate. You're intestate or out-testate or whatever testate.
Not interstate.
No, not
Well, you might be interstate intestate.
Or intrastate and intestate. So if you don't have a will, you die intestate. And what that means is your assets are divided in accordance with a formula as legislated by the government.
Oh.
And it used to be, now this is quite interesting, it used to be the first 100,000 to the spouse and then share it between the spouse and the children. They've changed that now. The law has changed in that it's about the first 475 to the spouse. And then...
The rest.
Then, no, other certain things to the... furniture and stuff to the spouse and then divide amongst the children and the spouse in certain percentages. But they only changed that because the law was behind in that, you know, houses weren't worth much. And so now, of course, in the last 30 years or 20 years, property prices have gone up and it left the spouse in quite disadvantage on death because normally if you have a will... Normally, if there's a couple, married or not married, they'll leave it to their partner, right, or their husband or wife. And then on the death of the husband, wife or partner, then it goes to the children. But if you don't have a will, then it doesn't do it that way and it can cause a lot of problems. Like I know that I'm married and my husband wanted to marry me so that he was fully legally protected to so that my parents wouldn't try and claim my assets when I died.
I thought you were going to say want to marry you for your money, Malcolm.
I hope he married me for love, but he wanted to marry me for legal protection.
Exactly.
Because my parents are difficult.
If someone is interstate... intestate. Do you think people do rely on that? They say, look, I don't need a will because I'm just going to rely on what the law says in terms of how things are divided. Do you think people use that as an excuse?
No, because they don't know the law.
Okay. All right. Beck, if someone dies intestate, can that affect family law issues?
It actually can because... If people are already in the family court, if someone's already made an application and one of the spouses passes away, that spouse's executor can actually continue the litigation in the family court. And so if someone's intestate, now I'm getting confused between interstate and intestate. If someone's intestate, then it makes it really difficult to sort of manage those proceedings going on.
I have a file like that where... I'm helping deal with the estate and there are family lawyers instructed by the executors of the deceased person to deal with property and children's matters still.
That's right. And it's not uncommon. Sometimes, you know, people will go to court because they think perhaps the other person is going to pass away, but it does happen.
And you don't know when someone's going to die any process of anything.
No. We're chatting with partner at Nicholas Family Lawyers and Beck Dahl and Malcolm Campbell from Nicholas O'Donoghue and Company.
Yes.
How I say it?
And Co.
Law Talk segment about wills, estates and family law. Malcolm, other reasons why people do not get a will include that people can think it's all too hard and all too expensive. Let's dispel that myth. What's involved?
Well, look, you can do wills yourself, but if you don't know the law, you may not do it correctly. You can also get a will kit, which is a cheap thing you can get from the post office or newsagent, if newsagents exist anymore.
Are they any good?
Well, I say no, because again, if you don't fill it in correctly and have it signed correctly, it may not be valid. And I've come across a few of them across my desk where the family then come to me because it wasn't done properly. And then, of course, there's a lawyer-made will. Now, of course, that costs you more than the will kit, but you have the peace of mind to know that it's been done correctly. Mm-hmm. I call it like a life insurance policy for somebody to know that your assets are going to go where you want them to go, not in accordance with the legislation if you die intestate.
Beck, have you got any comments about do-it-yourself will kits?
Yeah, look, I think as Malcolm said, I mean, look, there's always options to do things yourself, but I think what happens sometimes is that people are worried about the upfront cost, do it themselves, and then there can be issues which actually end up costing potentially their family, if they've passed away, a lot more money and a lot more stress than it would have to get the will done in the first place.
Correct, correct. Agree, 100%.
Malcolm, there are stories about people simply sending an email and it being seen as a will. There was also the case of a person who drafted but failed to send a text message, which the court saw as being a valid will. And then there's the cases where people staple bits of paper to the original will with scribblings on them, making changes to the will. And it all sounds very confusing. Can you clear some of this up for us? Should they send their will by text message or keep stapling new ideas to their will?
I say no.
No?
Look, wills can come in various forms, and yes, there have been cases, but you have to, whoever's involved in this, who wants the text message will to stand up or the stapled stuff stand up, they have to prove it, that it was the intent of that person to be their will. Now, under the legislation, you have to have a written document signed by two people who are there with you at the same time. And that's easy to do that. Mm. But in all these other cases, you have to prove it was their intent that there was their will. There's been some other case where somebody typed a will and put it on their computer and it did get through as an intent that it was their will because they told people about it. They said, oh, I've got it on my computer. But then I was involved in another situation where this fellow lived overseas and he did a will in accordance with the law of Thailand. So it was valid in Thailand, but his assets were in Australia. And so we had to prove that this will done in Thailand, although not valid under Australian laws, was his intended will. And he did. Like, all his stuff was sent to me, to my office. All his folders and files, and it was kept in this file that said my will, and it had his previous versions of his will, and he had contacted people to say, I've done a will, it's kept here. And so in all intents and purposes, he thought that he'd done all the right things, but he'd only done it under the laws of Thailand, not the laws of Australia. Anyway, it passed and we got it through. So that was very interesting, that situation.
Beck, from the perspective of a family lawyer, what part do wills play in family law matters, and what advice do you give to people about their wills?
Yeah, look, as family lawyers, and we've talked about this on this show before, we help people with binding financial agreements, which, you know, to quote Malcolm's phrase, I often call them relationship insurance.
I love that term.
And whilst they're only for while people are alive, I always say to people, make sure that when you're doing your will, it accords with what your binding financial agreement would have said. And I think the other one that people don't know is that when they get married and divorced, they need to do a new will as well.
That's true.
And people don't realise that all the time, I don't think. It's not the first thing you're thinking about on your honeymoon.
No.
Hey, baby, let's do a will.
And look, you can also do a will in contemplation of marriage or in contemplation of divorce. When marriage equality came in, I sent an email to all my same-sex clients to say, this law is coming in, your wills will now be invalid, you all have to ring me and do new wills.
That's right.
And most of them did. Some didn't, but most of them did, because it was important. Suddenly, a change in the law affected people and their legal status and their will's legal status.
If you've got any questions, you can text us 0427 569 949. We'll get to your questions very, very shortly. Still on families and wills and what happens after someone dies, we often hear of people contesting wills. If wills can be contested, what's the point of having one?
Well, they can be contested, but only by certain people. Now, you have to be an eligible person. Now, an eligible person can be a child of a deceased or a partner of a deceased, but it can't be anyone. It can't be a grandchild, and it can't be a sibling or a carer. You used to be able to be claimed under those things, sibling, grandchild, carer, but they narrowed the law because there were too many people claiming. The law was different. It changed about 2004 and let everyone do it, but now it's narrower, okay? You can also be a dependent child, such as a student or whatever, but the law is there to protect children from parents who might be vindictive. Like, you might have a vindictive parent who leaves a child out of their will for no reason or for a stupid reason. Now, if you're a child that is wealthy and doesn't need the money, well, you're more likely to fail in any claim. But if you're a child that hasn't got a job, hasn't got a proper income, has bad health, then you have a right to claim on a will and get more out of the will, or at least get something out of the will if you've been left out.
Mm. Mm. Beck, any comments here?
Yeah, no, agree. I think it's been quite interesting, I think, to see that change in the law where they have narrowed it, because there was a time there where, not this illegal phrase, but it sort of felt like every man and his dog was trying to make claims on wills.
Yes, yes. There were people making ambit claims, like pretending they were in relationships and they were just a carer. If you have someone, you're an elderly person, and you have someone who lives in your house and you pay them, well, they're a paid carer. Mm. But if they're like your partner, it's different. So there are all sorts of cases have come across my desk in my 25-year plus experience in this area.
Malcolm, just quickly, when it comes to wills, is the law same for same-sex and gender-diverse couples as it is for heterosexual couples?
Yes, the law is the same.
Okay. One of the things that our conversation today has made me realise is that having a will, I suppose, is more about the people who are left behind after you die. Go to wherever you want to go.
Die.
And that I'm not sure having, you get a choice, do you?
And that not having one can make things even harder for the loved ones who are grieving you. Malcolm, any last thoughts on that comment?
No, just do a will. Anyone over 18, whether you've got a dollar or $1 million, needs to have a will. Warren, do you have a will?
I do have a will, but I'm just thinking as we're talking about this, I need to update it.
Beck, do you have a will?
I would like to plead the fifth.
Oh, my God, you're a lawyer. I, of course, as a wills estate lawyer, have an up-to-date will.
We are with We're with Beck Dahl, partner at Nichols Family Lawyers, and Malcolm Campbell, partner at Nicholas O'Donoghue and Co., talking about wills and estates. We'll get to your questions next.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
We are joined by Malcolm Campbell and Beck Dahl, and we are talking about wills and estates. It's time to get to some of your questions that you've SMS'd in. Here's the first one. What happens if you have a stepfather and he has a child from a previous marriage of 45 years ago and he has no contact with? In the will, that child only gets a bit of money. Can that child contest the entire will?
They could contest the will, and they possibly could get a little bit more. But it's I previously spoke about in this segment, it's also depending on their needs and things like that. If they're a blood child of that person, then they can do that. I've had a situation where a man had four children from his marriage, and all four of them contested the will because he left everything to his second wife. But then another child turned up, and I was acting for the estate, and I said, well, prove that you're the child. I said, you have to take a DNA test. They were affronted by that, but they did in the end, and they passed. So they were a child. But you can't just come along and say, I'm that person's child, unless you prove it.
Well, we've answered this one. Even if I have a will, can it still be contested?
Yes, we've done that. Yes.
Someone says, get wills done. So important, and power of attorneys, which we'll talk about as a separate topic. This one here saying, I have no partner or children. I think my legal next of kin is my estranged adoptive sister, who I have spoken to for 30 years.
Well, this person, thank you for your question. You need to have a will which appoints somebody else as your executor who is not that person, and you leave your assets where you want to. But also, you should have powers of attorney. Now, they then appoint somebody to handle your affairs whilst you're alive if you're not capable. Because if you don't, then possibly your legal next of kin could take on that role.
Okay, we've got Leon from Preston says, if I die without a will, won't my assets just go to my partner and child anyway?
Well, in simply yes, but not possibly in the percentages or amounts of dollars that you want, because if you own real estate, it's problematic. There might, be an issue there, okay?
This person says, what if my boyfriend and I are not married and we've been together for less than 2 years?
Well, that's a relationship question for you, Beck.
Well, it could be a de facto relationship. I mean, it depends on the situation of the relationship. Sometimes people can be together for 2 years and have seen each other 3 times, and some people can be together for 2 years and own a house. So I think there'd probably be some complexity around perhaps a bit more about their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you might have to prove it. Can you just go back to that one, Warren? Sorry, scroll down. Thank you. So it's about proving whether if they die without a will, the boyfriend, then you may would have to prove that your relationship exists. Because, you know, not everyone lives together in relationship. You know, when people get together later in life and they've got lives established, they live in separate houses.
Well, that's right. I mean, it happens in the family court as well, people don't even live together and they're in a legal relationship.
That's right. You know, spend 3 nights at that house, 4 nights at the other house.
Or be married to one person and in a de facto relationship with another at the same time.
Well, that happens.
Mm. Got another one here. Angela from Eltham North says, does it make a difference if you are adopted, if you've been left out of your parents' will and they leave all to the other siblings?
If you're legally adopted by those parents and they leave you out of their wills, then yes, you can challenge it. But if you've been legally adopted by them, you cannot challenge the will of your birth parents because you're no longer legally their child.
I've got a question for you. Yes. What about your superannuation? Right. Should that be included in your will?
That's also another segment for us to talk about. But no, superannuation is not covered by your will.
Oh.
You need to provide your super fund with a nomination form. And there's all different types, binding, non-binding. You've got to contact your super fund and see what it is. Because if you don't, then the super fund will look at, when you die, who your dependents are, if you have any, if you've done a form, what's in your will, what's on the form, their own rules.
What if it's a self-managed
and the legislation? Well, self-managed super fund will still have a trust deed.
Ah, yes.
You'll be pleased to know I've done that bit, Malcolm.
No, oh, that's good. So have I. And here's one also, just to add on the super.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a dependent spouse or husband or wife, then always best to leave the super to them because they don't have to pay tax. If you pay, if you leave your super not to them and you say, I leave it to my estate, so you can leave it to your estate or what you say is to my executor or legal personal representative, which is another word for executor, then it will go into your estate, but it will be taxed and money will be taken out and given to the tax man. So always best to leave it directly to a dependent spouse.
Fantastic. Beck and Malcolm, great to chat with you. Really good topic.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us today on Joy Drive. Thank you. Beck Dahl is a partner at Nichols Family Lawyers and Malcolm Campbell, a wills and estates expert and partner at Nicholas O'Donoghue and Co.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.